Jenny closed the kitchen door behind her and motioned for Ruth and me to sit at the table in the middle of the room. A cauldron of stew hung above the fire in the hearth, and two fresh pies were cooling by the window. "Eat first," she said, "then talk." She cut us slices of brown bread and ham and poured us both big mugs of cider. Ruth gulped hers down quick and held out her mug for more. Jenny smiled and refilled it. I made short work of the food, keeping one eye on the door in case Mr. Robert walked in. The back door to the kitchen was wide open to let in the breeze. Should I grab Ruth's hand and try to escape? Jenny read my mind. "No sense in running." She shook her head from side to side. "He'd find you right away." I scowled at my bread and took another bite. "I'd help you if I could," she said. "It'd be the least I could do for Dinah." I wasn't sure I had heard her right. "Pardon me, ma'am?" "You're Dinah's girl. Knew you when you walked in the door." "You knew my mother?" Jenny stirred the cauldron of stew. "Your mother and your father both. I held you when you were just a day old. I heard she passed away last year. My condolences." She cut two pieces from the apple pie and gave them to Ruth and me. "I was indentured when I was your age. Old Mr. Malbone had 5 of us from Ireland, along with near 30 slaves. Worked us all just as hard, but after 7 years, I could walk away, thank the Lord. Dinah was real friendly to me when I first got there. Helped me get used to a new place, and people ordering me around." "I thought I knew you," I said. She smiled warmly and snatched a piece of apple from the pie plate. "You always were the best rememberer I ever saw. We used to make a game of it. Tell you a line to memorize or a song. Didn't matter how much time passed, you'd have the whole thing in your mouth. Made your parents proud." A serving girl came through the door and the talk stopped. Once Jenny had loaded up her tray and sent her back out, she sat down next to me. "How did you come to be with that man?" she asked. "I thought you were at Miss Finch's place." I quickly explained the dizzy events of the last 2 days. "There's no telling what happened to the lawyer," Jenny said when I was finished. "Boston is a terrible confusion. First the King's Army, and now Washington's." "What should I do?" I asked. The words came out louder than they should have. Jenny gently covered my mouth with her hand. "Shh," she warned. "You've got to use your head." I grabbed her hand. "Could you take us, please? You knew Mama." She slowly pulled her hand from mine, shaking her head. "I'm sorry, Isabel. I dare not." "But..." Bill opened the door and poked his head in. "He wants the girls. Best to hurry." A thin woman stood next to Mr. Robert. Her plum-colored gown was crisp and well-sewn, and expensive lace trailed from the small cap on her head. She was perhaps 45, with pale eyebrows and small eyes like apple seeds. A fading yellow bruise circled her right wrist like a bracelet. She looked us over quickly.
"Sisters?"
2 for the price of 1, Mr. Robert said. "Hardest working girls you ever own."
"What's wrong with them?" the woman asked bluntly. "Why such a cheap price?"
Mr. Robert's snake smile widened.
"My haste is your good fortune, madam. These girls were the servants of my late aunt, whose passing I mourn deeply. I must quickly conclude the matters of her estate. The recent unrest, you know."
A man joined the woman, his eyes suspicious and flinty. He wore a red silk waistcoat under a snuff-colored coat with silver buttons, a starched linen shirt, and black breeches. The buckles on his boots were as big as my fist.
"And what side do you take in the current situation, sir?" he asked. "Are you for the king, or do you support rebellion?"
Conversation at nearby tables stopped as people listened in.
"I pledge myself to our rightful sovereign, the king, sir," Mr. Robert said. "Washington and his rabble may have taken Boston, but that's the last thing they'll take."
The stranger gave a little bow and introduced himself.
"Elihu Lockton, at your service, sir. This is my wife, Anne."
Mr. Robert bowed politely in return,
ignoring the muttering at the table behind him.
"May I offer you both some sup and drink that we might be better acquainted?"
They all sat, and Jenny swooped over to take their orders. Ruth and I stood with our backs against the wall as Mr. Robert and the Locktons ate and drank. I watched them close. The husband was a head taller and twice the girth of most men. His shoulders rounded forward, and his neck seemed to pain him, for he often reached up to rub it. He said he was a merchant with business in Boston, New York, and Charleston, and complained about how much the Boston uprising cost him. His missus sipped Jenny's chowder, shuddered at the taste, and reached for her mug of small beer. She stole glances at us from time to time. I could not figure what kind of mistress she would be. In truth, I was struggling to think straight. The air in the tavern had grown heavy, and the weight of the day pressed against my head. When the men took out their pipes and lit their tobacco, Ruth sneezed, and the company all turned and considered us.